WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today, Mike Coffey from ND Nation, Ed Sullivan, and our newest member, Ed Jordanic. I'd say our newest member of our expert panel, but that'd be stretching the truth a little bit. But welcome back to the show. Today we're going to talk about the depth chart for the Irish as we head into game week. We're 8 days away from the opener against Nevada, and I think we all feel that this is maybe the deepest, most talented team, certainly of the Weiss era, and maybe going back maybe 10 years or so to late Holtz, early Davey. So I'm pretty optimistic about the level of talent and the implications for this season. So let's start with the offensive side of things. And the group that has been the most maligned, certainly, and deservedly so over the last few years, is the offensive line. But we've got a couple, if not new faces, rearranged faces in the offensive line. So, Mike Coffey, what's your take on the quality and the quantity of guys in the offensive line?
Well, it certainly, as you said, has improved. I think one of the bright spots for me is that it doesn't seem like all of the starters from last year are automatically getting penciled into starting positions this year. You're actually seeing some competition in practice, which is the biggest thing depth gives you. You have people who have to earn their spots every week, and if they're not putting the effort in or if it's just not happening for them, you got another guy breathing down their neck who's going to go out there and give the effort that you need every year. I think Wenger's now on the second team, which hopefully will motivate him to perform at a higher level, and we'll see better performance out of the line and better performance out of the backs.
Right away you're seeing a starter last year at center, Dan Wenger, being replaced with the move of switching Olsen over to center. That says a lot about the competition.
It does, and I like it when we're strong up the middle, and it seems to me that the strength of this line is center in the guard spots. Chris Stewart, Trevor Robinson, you hear his name over and over again, how impressive he is in practice, and he showed us that last year when he got a chance on the field. And Olsen, obviously, they think highly of him if they're going to move him and to replace Wegner. So
yeah, I wonder if it's a
question of the tackles to me.
And we'll get to you on the tackles in a minute. I wonder if that's the move of Olsen to center. Is that as much to make room for Trevor Robinson at guard, or is Olsen clearly the best guy and that much better than Wenger?
Well, actually, I want to jump in on that because I think when you have changed your center, right, I'm not sure you're going to want to mess with changing your center to make room for somebody. That's such a key position, the center quarterback exchange. And also, he's your leader. He's setting the calls when he comes out of the huddle. It does say Olsen's done a heck of a job. You know, let's hope it's that, not that, oh, my God, we got a problem at center. We had to find somebody, right?
Right.
So that's going to be a very key test early on is why did they make that move and how does it work out?
At tackle, then, you know, Sam Young, this is much like the Weiss era. It's put up or shut up time. You know, Sam Young, totally. Heralded recruit, started since his freshman year, but not necessarily entirely his own doing, but right. He hasn't been all that productive.
Are you saying he was a starter not from his own doing?
No, meaning like he hasn't the potential, reaching his potential. I'd say most people would agree he hasn't, but a lot of factors go into that. So this is the year that maybe Sam Young has the breakout year.
Well, and I'm going to come back to like Coffey's point about guys pushing people at practice and stuff, but there's another aspect of depth, which your point is great, okay? But the other aspect of depth is, in my experience, it doesn't matter if A beats out B. You need both A and B to play on Saturday because guys are going to get banged up. Guys need a blow. Maybe there's a certain look or a certain kind of physical play by the defense that one guy's a little better at than the other, right? So the depth helps us at practice. It helps you on Saturday, too. You have to go too deep at almost every position, and we have a chance to do that now.
Yeah, I was just going to make the point that you know, expectations are, especially for Notre Dame recruits, can be a pretty difficult thing. And I think when we heard that Sam Young was coming to Notre Dame, we just penciled him in as a left tackle pro, a guy that was going to be our Orlando Pace. And that's a pretty tough deal. And now, you know, hopefully he's found a place at right tackle. He obviously isn't either talented enough or skilled enough to play what in a passing offense, or at least a pass-oriented offense, is the most, with a right-handed quarterback, the most important position on the field oftentimes for the offense, especially some of the schools that will play this year. So the Duncan thing will be very interesting.
Paul Duncan, he's really left tackle.
Left tackle. We just don't know. We don't know what we're going to see, I think, for the most part.
There's been a lot of talk. You know, I think the coaching staff is high on him as a left tackle, and the progress he's made. You know, he's obviously has a lot of playing time and then was injured last year. And so people are expecting a lot out of him. And you're right, that's key. The success of this group, as much as I agree we're strong up front, might really hinge on, you know, is the left tackle position going to be solidified?
And just real quick, and Mike can probably speak to this better than I can, but reading between the lines, it sounds like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Matt Romine might be the most talented guy that they have at that position. He just hasn't played in injuries and stuff, and you kind of read between the lines, and it looks like he is a prototype left tackle, a guy that they really would love to – that we'll see time. And to Ed's point, he'll be number two in there, and we might see quite a bit of him before the year is over.
Right. I mean, I think we're a full complement of scholarship offensive linemen of high quality. It's been a long time.
And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that bodes well in the future because the young guys don't have to play. They can play spot here or there. They sit and learn from older guys. It's been a long time since we've seen that.
And they also develop from a physical standpoint.
Yes.
You bring in a true freshman who hasn't had the benefit of an offseason in a college weight program and in a actual Division I program where he learns the ropes. You throw him in immediately. Yeah, he may be able to get something done because of the physical tools he brings with him, but there is nothing that takes the place of just a year of watching and learning and lifting and then – 4 years later, when you're a fifth-year senior and really contributing, that's when it bears fruit.
I think it's a great point, but let me throw this out. Here's the issue. How physical are they going to be? We can talk about talent and experience and all this. We haven't had a physical offensive line. Just move them out on third and one, okay? Just get up in people's face and move them out and grind yards. And that asks the question of whether was it talent, experience, or a choice in the coaching staff about what to emphasize and when
right.
we can do
that. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about whether or not the Verducci versus Latina, the scheme, the priorities, but just really, just fit, from a talent standpoint on the roster, that alone is reason to give you some sense of optimism. Getting back to the idea of depth and older guys and leadership. That's what I like about this group is maybe the young guys coming in will spend a couple years getting their butts kicked by the older guys and learning how to be a Division I lineman just from a toughness standpoint to reconnect with Ed's point. Maybe that's part of what was also lacking with the physical player, the toughness is when you don't have the older guys teaching you how to do it and instilling that sense of pride as a Notre Dame lineman, you're going to see the performance on the field decline a little bit. That's not the whole story, but I think that's part of it.
And not to go in the Wayback Machine too much, but that's what we saw in the
Joe. Hey, we are in.
I mean, the Joe Moore era, you would come into a fall or a spring, and there'd be four offensive linemen that had never played a minute before. And two or three games in, they looked like a seamless unit. I mean, it was pretty amazing, and I think that was partly because they had a chance to develop. They had a chance to play against guys in practice. I mean, there was a line that was in place of guys, and hopefully we're kind of getting back to that type of a rotation.
Right. Now, at tight end, a position that critical in the Weiss offense, we've recruited really well there. We just can't keep any of them. So, you know, it may be a little thin, but the talent there certainly is outstanding.
Absolutely. And we saw last year how critical the tight end is to the offense when missing Will Yeatman and just trying to make the offense move without that third option in the passing game. And then when you lose wideouts or anyone out in the position, you're trying to make an offense move and you're not giving the defense enough threats to worry about.
But Kyle Rudolph is a guy who I think most people feel is going to have an opportunity to play on Sunday in the future. And he gives us that speed vertically down the middle that I think you saw a lot with John Carlson. Eddie, you know, what's your take on Kyle Rudolph as a tight end in the Notre Dame offense?
Well, I personally think he's going to go down as one of the greats. I mean, I really think that he's got the whole package, especially when you kind of see his feel for the game. He seems to know how to get open. And you go back and you look, starting with Casper and McAfee and Dean Mastak and some of these guys that we saw.
It just feels good to hear those
names. I know. Aren't those great names? they in the middle of the field, to me, that's the most exciting thing in an offense, when you split a seam, when you get open, and then you just drag guys down the field. And I'm sorry for not mentioning Mark Bavaro, who probably is very prominent in our mental highlight reel of Notre Dame tight ends. But I think he's in that class. I definitely do.
Now, behind him, it gets a little thin, but Mike Ragone was a guy that came in very highly regarded. Two knee surgeries later, it remains to be seen, can he kind of regain that form? But both of these guys, I think of them as speed guys. Ed Sullivan, I mean, let's talk about the importance of a blocking tight end.
Yeah, since I played that position and I wasn't a speed guy, then it's something that I have some affinity for. I think it gets back to, do we have a running game? Okay, and if we've got sort of lighter and faster tight ends who are great in a kind of a pro-style offense, but they don't fit when we have to go run the ball, then we could have some trouble. So they're going to have to show early on that they can line up in the run scheme, right? They can be in on a goal line offense and get people moving. And then sometimes when we're going to keep max protection, we got to keep that guy in, and he's got to block. I mean, a tight end is a critical position. You got to be a great athlete because you got to do both.
Rudolph is a great athlete, and everybody says he's put on a lot of weight, added a lot of muscle. So we'll see what happens there. But I think that's a critical area, as you've said, and one that is an open question, at least in my mind, is do we have enough depth and can they block?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the real strength of the offense has got to be the skill guys, and beginning with wide receiver. Everybody says, you know, Notre Dame's got one of the best tandems in Tate and Floyd, Golden Tate and Michael Floyd. I think they're right. I think the hype matches reality, and that's not always the case. But with these guys, I think they're both pretty special.
I agree, and we saw what happened when Floyd went down last year, how the offense got hamstrung.
Changed.
But having Floyd on one side and just sending so many guys out that you're giving the defense – four or five guys they have to worry about. You can't cover four or five guys for more than 3 or 4 seconds. Someone's going to be open. They're going to be able to move the ball. And then plus that you add Shaq Evans on top of that. It just seems like there's an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver.
Is Kumara hurt? He's back 100% clear and ready to practice next week.
Because
whether or not he gets in the game, I have no idea.
A guy like my mind is talking, Grimes or somebody like that who in years past has been that third guy, and then all of a sudden they are breaking people's back. Because you're worried about, you know, the Tates and the Floyds, and it's that, you know, it's the guy who's out in the slot or something, in some ways like the tight end, right? So we have a lot of weapons. We have a lot of weapons.
Yeah, and the guy that Mike Coffey mentioned, Shaquille Evans, might be as dangerous a third receiver as we've had. I mean, Rima McKnight was a pretty good number three. Grimes may be a step below that from a speed standpoint and size standpoint.
Big heart.
But, oh, yeah, I love Grimes, but Shaquille Evans, good combination of speed and size.
Size is big in the Weiss offense.
Right. Size is big. Let's skip to Jimmy because, to me, everything revolves around Jimmy. These guys are fantastic talents. If we see Jimmy like we saw him, and I made this point in the earlier broadcast, like we saw last in the Hawaii Bowl, that is just going to make these guys all the more dangerous because he's going to find the one that's open. And like Mike Coffey just said, you can't cover them all. And you've got some pretty good backs out of the backfield that can catch the ball. So he's the trigger man. It all begins with him.
Okay,
and
so
he's going to pick everybody off.
The love fest is over now. What are the things you're worried about?
Well, let's Clawson? Talk about the running. Oh, you want to
let's
still
stay
talk
on
about
Jimmy
Clawson.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. What are we worried about? And, you know, what are our concerns?
I think we're worried about his head. I mean, we're worried about Absolutely. North Carolina. We're worried about Pittsburgh. We're worried about Syracuse because, you know, we have fresh in our mind what happened in the bowl game, which is wonderful. But he did not handle adversity too well in the second half of last season.
Yeah.
And we've already kind of penciled it in as something we don't have to worry about. And I'm not ready to go there yet. I hope that's right. And I think he will make that leap. But we've got to see it on the field.
How you handle the bad plays says more about you than how
that's
you
right.
handle the good plays.
That's exactly
and
right.
That was a big problem last year. But the fact that he was elected captain by his teammates, maybe that's an indication that the maturity process is
maybe a little ballot box stuffing there.
Well, I don't know.
I was thinking about that too. Whether it's what they wanted or whether that really came from the team. But you got to give the guy this.
Sure.
He's got his battle scars. I mean, think back to 07 and the kind of stuff he went through and how he got pounded. I mean, he's been through the fires. Now, has he stopped doing stupid things like turning and running 40 yards back off the line of scrimmage, thinking he can run away from people or, you know, his head get screwy and all that? We'll see.
I mean, I'm a Klassen fan. I think he's going to have a terrific year. But I just think that's we have to see it. We got to see it still.
And you said it, we've already used the phrase put up or shut up in this broadcast and add to the ever-lengthening list of things. I mean, he's not a freshman starter anymore. He's not playing behind a all green offensive line. He's got someone behind him pushing him. This is the optimal situation for him. He's going to get plenty of attention. He's going to get plenty of opportunities to show whether he can not only perform at Notre Dame but perform at the next level. This is the time that he has to. There's no more mulligans. He's got to step it up.
I think that phrase, put up or shut up, we can use it. We should just like tape it. Have a button you can push. It just says put up or shut up.
Well, you know, all the different units, wide receivers are the only ones really that we all feel no question marks. It's an established, proven group. And the running backs are another unknown in the sense that we haven't really got a lot of production. Again, it's a complicated set of factors. But just from a personnel standpoint, Armando Allen was kind of penciled in as the guy, but has gotten some serious pressure in fall camp from freshmen like Theo Riddick and Sear Wood and the sophomore Jonas Gray, who I've always been a big fan. I thought what he did last year in junk time, he just had a different look to him than our other explosiveness. He's a nice combination of power and speed. So it will be interesting to see which of those guys becomes the go-to guy in the backfield.
Yeah, and I think the whole aspect of practice pressure is going to help us there as well. But the two key things there, one, as Jonas figured out how to hang on to the football, and two, as we could have the greatest running backs in the world, but the offensive line isn't. I remember back to 93 when Aaron Taylor and those boys made Lee Becton look like an All-American.
Right, exactly.
Nothing against Lee Becton.
Right.
He's a talented athlete, but they made him look fantastic. Whereas last year, a lot of these same guys like Allen didn't look so good behind the line that wasn't getting it done.
But it goes both ways because sometimes a running back makes the offensive line look better, too, by hitting the hole. And a guy that can turn a 7-yard gain into a 25-yard gain or a 12-yard gain into a touchdown suddenly does wonders for your rushing stats.
I'm really curious about the James Aldridge experiment because, you know, he struck me as a fairly upright runner, which I don't necessarily think lends itself to the fullback position. I think he's kind of a tweener. He didn't really demonstrate kind of some of those traits that I think would make a terrific fullback. They obviously seem to have confidence in him. But, you know, behind him, there's nothing really that much. I mean, you know, there's some guys, but they're kind of placeholders. You know, we don't really have a true fullback on the football team as far as I can tell. So that's going to be really interesting. I mean, he's got a role to play, which is very, I think it's important in the offense. It's not critical or it's not crucial. I think you can get away with, okay play, but exactly.
I tell you, he reminds you a little bit of Rashawn Powers-Neal in Weiss's first year, and through what, 6 games before he got hurt or suspended. He was terrific, and the offense looked different than we've seen it since in terms of balance and maybe a little more misdirection, just different options. I think that Aldridge could really add a dimension to this offense that we haven't seen in a while.
Well, I mean, we're going to be backfield by committee. I don't see any guy just kind of totally nailing that position. And Charlie seems to, you know, he has these packages. You're my guy for this package. You're my guy for this package. So yeah, I think everyone's going to get a shot.
I don't know. I mean, one of the things with Allen that I think you can count on is he's going to pass protect. He's generally going to hang on to the ball. And those two factors he might just become the security blanket and get most of the carries if those other guys can't pick up the entire scheme of things. So that's another open question, but more depth and talent than we've seen in many years, so that's a good sign. We're going to wrap it up there. We will talk about the defense in our next broadcast. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or you can post them on our website. For Ed Sullivan, Ed Jordanic, and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.